distinctions, but people... But
good morning, everyone. This is a work session of the Portland City Council. Today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. Carla, could you please read the item?
This is a work session.
I'm sorry. Okay, you're right. So this is on an audit. Good morning, Council. Thank you, Madam Auditor and your team, for taking the time to conduct a thoughtful, thorough audit of the Regional Arts and Culture Council, otherwise known as RAC. Having been briefed on the audit, we found that the opportunities we face come from both sides of the table today. To ensure the success of RAC moving forward, we must first and foremost create a vision that we want to collectively set for the arts, not just in Portland, but throughout the entire region, since RAC, of course, is a region-wide institution. We must then ensure a system of accountability going forward, both for the contracts in play and future contracts, creating clear, consistent goals for our region's arts and culture. We have an amazing opportunity to use RAC for greater cultural and economic good in our region. We have the privilege of being able to highlight the too often overlooked work of artists. We also have the responsibility to use funding to benefit artists at all levels and to address the equity issues of not doing so. Access to the arts, and more importantly, to the greater truth art illuminates, is essential. To do this, we must take on the essential work of holding our system accountable. Going forward, we'll create plans to ensure the arts remain a prevalent part of the fabric of our city and create specific goals to ensure equity in the arts. Together, the City of Portland and the Regional Arts and Culture Council can do great things going forward to ensure the long-term creativity of our region. I want to particularly thank Commissioner Fish, who has been my partner in this. We collectively asked the auditor to do an audit of RAC. We felt that this was a good time, given that there is a new executive director that will be coming in shortly. And so I'd like to turn this over to Commissioner Fish.
Thank you very much, Mayor and colleagues. For over 20 years, RAC has been our key partner in advancing our shared vision of a city that honors and invests in arts and culture. We are grateful to the board and the staff for their service to our city. In fact, we're joined today by Interim Executive Director Jeff Hawthorne, and we're joined by board members Mike Golub and Linda McGady and others. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your service. I'd also be remiss if I didn't acknowledge our creative laureate. Supa, would you please stand and accept our welcome and our thanks for your service? Congratulations. Last May, the mayor and I asked the city auditor to conduct the city's first ever review of the Regional Arts and Culture Council. She agreed, and today we will hear from her team about their review, their findings, and their recommendations. I want to thank the mayor for his partnership, and in particular, Auditor Hull Caballero for her thoughtful work, as usual. I also want to thank RAC for working collaboratively with the auditor to ensure that she had access to all the information she needed to do her work. This is a dynamic time for the arts and culture in Portland, and for RAC in particular. Today, we're hearing recommendations to strengthen oversight of RAC and to increase accountability of our public investment. RAC is conducting a national search for a new executive director. The city is renegotiating its contract with RAC with the goal of clarifying roles and responsibilities. More broadly, we recently adopted a new arts affordability plan and are beginning to implement key recommendations. Back to today. The mayor and I did not ask for this review because we had fundamental concerns with RAC. Instead, as the mayor noted, we believe that after 20 years and with a significant leadership transition, it was time for the first ever outside review of our relationship with RAC. We welcome the findings and recommendations in this report, and in fact, we're already taking steps to implement a number of them. For example, in the budget just adopted by the council, we funded the first dedicated contractor administrator position, whose task it will be to ensure full compliance with the terms of our contract. That's progress, Madam Auditor. We're moving quickly. It's now my pleasure and honor to turn the work session over to our distinguished auditor, Auditor Hull Caballero, and congratulations on your resounding reelection.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. We are here with results of our Regional Arts and Council Cultural our Regional Arts and Culture Council audit. The origin of this audit is somewhat unusual because it did stem from a formal request from Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Fish to perform a broad overview of the city's longstanding contractual relationship with the Arts Council. And normally, commissioners in charge don't seek out the attention of the auditor's office, but we are pleased that you did, and we are pleased that we have completed this work in time to inform some critical decisions that lay ahead for the city. Allow me to introduce Director of Audit Services Kari Guy and Senior Management Auditor Jennifer Scott. Jennifer led this audit and will present our findings and recommendations this morning, and I'd also like to acknowledge Martha Prinz, who worked on the audit with Jennifer. Our presentation is going to take about 30 minutes, and that leaves an hour for questions should you need that much time, or we can field questions as we go along if you prefer to do that in a little less formal way.
Good morning. By the way, can we also just acknowledge that it was not the norm that we would hold work sessions to receive audits from auditors?
Yes, I think that is another thing that is unusual, and part of that is because the relationship we're talking about today is a contractual relationship. Normally, we audit a program or operations of a bureau, so we have a commissioner in charge to go back to and have a conversation with, and this one's a little bit different, so we thought we'd speak to you as a group with our results. And it also allows us to do our work more quickly and get the results to you more quickly because of the time constraints of the changes going on.
And I think, speaking from my colleagues, can I also acknowledge that the format in which you elected to present the information, which is a comprehensive PowerPoint, was also, I think, very inspired and quite helpful.
Yes, that's different as well. We're trying to communicate our results in ways that are most appropriate to the audiences we're trying to reach.
Thank you.
You might just note the council member, since you can't see the screen, you have Since you can't see the screen, you have a packet in front of you that has the slides that Jenny's going to be referring to.
Good morning. The Regional Arts and Culture Council is an independent 501c3 organization governed by a volunteer board of directors. The city is contracted with the Arts Council for more than 20 years for arts and culture services, including public art, grants, arts education, strategic planning, and advocacy. The city's current contract with the Arts Council expires on June 30th of this year. We are reporting our results in a work session because we thought that this format would be useful for those involved with the contract negotiations. In our presentation, we will first share our overall audit results and then cover some background about the city's history with the Arts Council and about the organization itself, and then discuss in more detail our audit findings and recommendations. We provided you with a one-page document that maps our objectives, findings, and recommendations, which may be useful as we go through our presentation. Our objectives were to determine if the city has clear goals for arts and culture, if the Arts Council is providing services to meet city goals and contract obligations, and if city oversight of the Arts Council is helping to ensure that city goals are met. In answering our first objective, we found that the city does not have clear goals for arts and culture. In answering our second objective, we focused on the Arts Council's provision of services to meet contract obligations, since the city lacks clear goals for arts and culture. We found that the Arts Council provides many services, but that improvements are needed. We found that the Arts Council needs to articulate its strategy and regional role. For example, the Arts Council lacks a strategic plan, and while they are a regional organization, they are primarily funded by and focused on the city. Relatedly, we found that the city's representation on the Arts Council's board of directors is less than what was originally intended. We also found that the city's contract with the Arts Council needs improvement because elements are vague and hard to measure. This has resulted in unclear oversight and reporting responsibility for arts education and a possible insurance risk due to the city not knowing the value of its arts assets. We also found that the Arts Council is developing a proposal to restructure its largest grant program to make it more equitable, but this is in contrast to an aspirational funding goal in the contract. In answering our third objective, we found that the city's oversight of the contract and spending needs improvement. There is no city contract administration or performance monitoring. The city is not thoroughly overseeing how the Arts Council spends money, and the city is also not tracking completely how it funds the Arts Council. Before we get into the details of our audit results, we'd like to cover some background on the city's history with the Arts Council. The Metropolitan Arts Commission, the Regional Arts and Culture Council's predecessor, was founded in 1973. It was a city bureau with offices in the Portland Building. In 1993, the commission became more regional when the intergovernmental agreement was expanded to include Clackamas, Washington, and Clark counties. In 1994, the commission was restructured into the nonprofit organization that it is today. And in 1995, the city, Metro, Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington counties entered into an intergovernmental agreement designating the Arts Council as the region's arts and culture agency. The City of Portland has had 5-year contracts with the Arts Council for more than 20 years, and the current contract is set to expire on June 30th. The Arts Council has 34.5 full-time equivalent employee positions. The public art staff are the stewards of the city's public art collection, providing routine maintenance and conservation of more than 2,000 public artworks. The Arts Council's community engagement program is responsible for research and assessments. Staff run Work for Art, a workplace giving campaign, and perform outreach. The Arts Council's operations program is internally focused, dealing with human resources, accounting, and information technology. The grants program oversees 6 types of grants for artists and arts organizations. And the arts education staff run the Right Brain Initiative and have some oversight responsibilities for arts education and access tax-funded programs. In 2018, the total planned budget for the Arts Council was $11.2 million. This is an increase from 2014, when the budget was $7.8 million. Spending on the grants program, seen in gray on the slide, makes up the largest share of the Arts Council's budget, followed by public art in yellow, arts education in orange, management and overhead in green, and advocacy in blue. We examined each program's 2018 budget and found that while most of the Arts Council's budget goes directly to artists and arts organizations, about a third goes towards operating expenses like salaries, staff training, and rent. We calculated...
Clarification on that. Is that operating expenses of RAC or of the funded organizations?
Of RAC.
Thank you.
We calculated total city spending on the Arts Council. In 2017, the city, including Prosper Portland, gave the Arts Council $8.3 million, shown in orange. $4.5 million was from the general fund, shown in brown. $3.3 million was from the arts tax, shown in green. And $500,000 was from the Percent for Art program, shown in blue. The city's agreement with the Arts Council is contained in the Intergovernmental Agreement and Transition Agreement that established the organization, as well as a 2010 amended contract. In our audit work, we relied on information contained in these agreements. Now we're going to share the details of our first audit objective, which was to determine if the city has clear goals for arts and culture. In addition to the work of the Arts Council, various city agencies do work related to arts and culture. A number of bureaus are directly involved with arts and culture work. For example, Parks and Recreation has an arts, culture, and special events program. The Bureau of Transportation issues permits for public art sited in the right-of-way, and the Grants Division administers special appropriations grants that include funding for arts and culture. City bureaus with construction or improvements that include Percent for Art funds help select the art that will be purchased or commissioned and help to decide if the art will be a permanent or portable work. All city bureaus display in public places art chosen from the joint City-Multnomah County rotating collection. And the city has a creative laureate who serves as Portland's cultural ambassador and participates in community education, advocacy, and public events. The intergovernmental agreement designates the Arts Council as the arts and culture agency responsible for, among other things, strategic planning and policy development. The city's first comprehensive arts and culture planning process was in 1992. The most recent arts and culture planning effort was in 2009. This effort resulted in Act for Art, a regional plan focused largely on increasing funding for the arts. These efforts included assessments of the arts and culture needs of the city and region, and the reports contained goals and strategies to address these needs. More recent planning efforts include a plan for preserving and expanding affordable art spaces in Portland, and a one-year arts agenda that the Arts Council developed for the mayor in 2017. While proactive, these efforts do not address Portland's entire arts ecology and do not articulate either a vision or goals for what the city wants to do in terms of arts and culture generally, and how they intend to get there through the work of the Arts Council and city bureaus. We found that the city lacks clear goals for arts and culture because the Arts Council and the city are not delivering or could do more to meet elements of their contract related to assessing needs, planning, and goal setting. For example, one provision of the contract calls for the Arts Council to conduct studies, hearings, and investigations to determine the city and the region's arts and culture needs. The Arts Council has not performed a general needs assessment since 2009, although Portland's arts ecology has changed since then. Additionally, the contract calls for the city to confer with the executive director of the Arts Council in city goal setting, annual retreats, and task forces, but we did not find evidence of this taking place.
Could I ask a question on that? Mm-hmm. Is this the city or RAC or both required to do these things, provide leadership and conduct studies, hearings, and investigations? Is that to the city or to RAC or
that,
to both?
That contract obligation is to RAC. The first two are to RAC, and the last one on the slide is directed to the city.
Got it. Thank you.
The lack of clear goals, vision, and strategy for arts and culture poses risks. For example, city providers of arts and culture services may struggle to prioritize their work. The Arts Council could provide services that are not aligned with city goals, and the city misses the benefit of having the Arts Council's perspective on city decisions. In addition to the contract requirements that call for the arts...
Sorry to interrupt.
No.
And this is very good, so thank you. The third bullet point, can you dive a little bit deeper on that? The city misses the benefit of having the Arts Council perspective on city decisions.
Yeah, so this last contract obligation that asks the city to bring the RAC executive director into city goal setting, annual retreats, and appropriate task forces seem designed to get the opinion of the arts organizations on various city decisions. And this has happened in other cities. For example, in Phoenix, I believe, artists sit at the table for all types of city decisions to get a different perspective on the decision, as well as to learn about potential impacts to artists or the arts ecology.
What's an example of that concrete example? Because my experience, I've never known RAC to be shy about expressing its view on issues that come before us. So what's a specific example you can think of where we've missed the opportunity to have RAC or artists at the table helping us shape policy?
That's a great question. And what we did find is that we didn't see a lot of these different types of meetings happening. So it's hard to point to a place where we've missed the opinion of RAC on different decisions. But one example might be developing the plan for the different development plans would be to have RAC sitting at the table and getting input on that decision.
So let's put a fine point on that, as we're talking about within our urban renewal districts or with Prosper Portland's new plan for affordable commercial space or the Parks Bureau talking about how it's going to enhance arts programs, with making sure that both RAC's perspective and the perspective of artists is at the table on task forces, on committees, testifying and the like.
Yes.
I'm all for that,
exactly.
So thank you.
Thank you for stating that in a more articulate way. In addition to the contract requirements that call for the Arts Council to assess needs and to assist in articulating an arts agenda, experts recommend that arts and cultural planning be used to engage with communities, assess needs and assets, and solidify the role of arts and culture into the operations of a city. Other cities, including Denver, San Jose, and Chicago, have plans that articulate their jurisdiction's goals, strategy, and vision for arts and culture. We recommend that the Arts Commissioner and the Mayor work with the Arts Council, city leaders, city agencies involved with arts and culture, and community stakeholders to assess the state of arts and culture in Portland, identify needs, and develop clear goals, vision, and strategy for arts and culture for City Council adoption. Our second objective was to determine if the Arts Council is providing services to meet city goals and contract obligations. We found that the Arts Council needs to articulate its strategy and regional role. For example, we found that the Arts Council does not have a strategic plan. A strategic plan is a document that communicates an organization's goals and the actions they plan to take to achieve them. Comprehensive strategic planning has not been carried out by the Arts Council. Former management said this is because the Arts Council has not had the certainty of a dedicated funding stream needed for long-term planning. Additionally, the organization's mission to enrich communities through arts and culture does not identify who the organization serves or what they do, and goals of program work plans are not directly tied to the mission.
Could I just ask a question about what you just said? There's over $4 million in ongoing funding, so what did you infer from the suggestion that there wasn't certainty about ongoing funding?
Well, I think that that what they were referring to was wanting something like the arts tax to be able to rely on the certainty of this long-term funding as opposed to 5-year contracts. The lack of a strategic planning process and corresponding plan has resulted in internal concern that the Arts Council operations are disjointed and that the public does not know what they do, and a risk that money is not spent strategically. We also found that despite being founded as a regional organization, the Arts Council is primarily funded by and focused on the City of Portland. Parties to the intergovernmental agreement that established the Arts Council are the City, Metro, and the counties of Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington. We found that the City provides the majority of funding for the Arts Council. In 2017, total revenue for the Arts Council was $11.9 million. That year, funding from the City of Portland was $8.3 million, which represents 70% of the Arts Council's budget. Estimated funding from private fundraising, the state and federal governments, outside contracts, and other revenue sources such as income from conferences and merchandise in 2017 was $1.7 million. And total funding from Multnomah County was $1.6 million. The funding from Metro, Washington, and Clackamas counties cannot be seen well on this graph due to its scale and is detailed on the next slide. In 2017, Washington County's funding for the Arts Council was $130,000. Clackamas County's funding was $80,000, and Metro's funding was less than $30,000. The City providing the majority of funding and receiving the majority of services from the Arts Council has resulted in limited, regionally focused, and funded arts and culture efforts. An Arts Council that is not governed by the City or focused solely on Portland, and limited city resources mean that funding is not available for alternative uses. We found that the City provides...
Mm-hmm. Could you explain that third point?
Just pointing out that when considering that the City has limited funding, when we are dedicating about $8 million to the Arts Council, that money is then not available for other uses outside of the Arts Council.
Oh, okay.
Well, but that eight, would you break down that $8 million again?
Yes.
so we understand how fungible these dollars are, because I think some of that money is has been apportioned by the voters.
Yeah. I don't think we get to pat ourselves on the back for not, giving them the arts tax.
These are, this is not money that could be put into potholes if we didn't fund
ourselves.
Yeah, 4.5 million. And
we're at 4.5. The arts tax is
3.3. The arts tax.
And then half a million for the percent.
So the percent and the percent for art program, our percent for the art program is spent in Portland. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's being spent in Portland. The general fund appropriation is funding largely a Portland agenda, and the arts tax is spent according to the law. I mean, what the voters intended. Mm-hmm. There's in my slide. Let me just see if I can find it. Where you have the breakdown on page 11, it says city gave the Arts Council 8.3, and it says 3 million from the general fund, 4.8 from the Arts Act. Was that updated?
Yes.
Okay, that was updated.
Yes.
Let me ask you, if I could, because I think this part of the audit is very provocative, and it actually raises as much a branding question as a philosophical question. I'll give you an analogy. One of our key partners at the city, nonprofit partners, is called Volunteers of America. They get dozens of phone calls every day from people saying, I want to volunteer for your work. And the answer they give to them is, we're not a volunteer organization. We're the largest social service agency in the state, but we don't actually use volunteers to provide those services. Thank you for calling. So it has begged the question for a long time, why do they continue to call themselves Volunteers of America if volunteers are not at the heart of their mission? That's a branding question. You've pointed out something that Commissioner Fritz has noted every year when we do the presentation on the arts at the council and others, that we are largely regional in name only. And the aspiration was to have a regional focus, and I think that's laudable. It's our view that when we do things regionally, like transportation and housing policy and other things, there's a benefit. But you've confirmed once again that in terms of funding, the regional partners put in very little. City puts in a lot more. And so I know it's not your job to recommend policy choices. You give us the information to make informed judgments. But, I mean, one of my thoughts as I was reading this is it time to call the question as to whether the R should be in front of the acronym? We want to have a regional arts and culture council, but it is not effectively functioning the way I think we had hoped as a regional entity, and certainly the funding belies that. So that's a question. And, you know, there's two ways you could approach it. You could either spend the time asking regional partners to invest more so that it became more regional, or you could perhaps potentially consider reverting to sort of a go-it-alone strategy. I actually think that's bad for the region, but this question about participation by the region has been lingering for a long time, and I think you put it in sharp relief, so I appreciate that.
We found that the city provides the majority of funding to the Arts Council in part because the Arts Council is not meeting requirements regarding regional support and service. For example, the Arts Council has not entered into service agreements for developing and administering arts and culture programs with Metro, Washington, and Clackamas counties, as the intergovernmental agreement requires. The city's contract requires the Arts Council to work with other government agencies, with public and private groups, and with individuals and foundations to secure funding. Based on funding levels from jurisdictions and parties besides the city, we concluded that the Arts Council could do more to meet this requirement. Related to the Arts Council's need to articulate their regional role, we found that the city's representation on the Arts Council's board of directors is less than originally intended. A 1999 amendment to the intergovernmental agreement states that the city will have 11 appointments to the Arts Council's board of directors. However, this is not the composition of the board today. The Arts Council's 2016 bylaws state that the city will have 6 appointments to the board, 5 less than is outlined in the agreement. The bylaws include the chair emeritus and 8 at-large members who are appointed by the board. As such, the city's influence on the board is less than what was outlined in the intergovernmental agreement.
Could I ask a question about that? I assume the IGA supersedes the bylaws. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Board bylaws and member onboarding do not establish an expectation that members of the board advocate for or to their jurisdiction for increased services or financial support. Because of that, and because the board and the city appear to have a positive working relationship, we do not believe that there is a significant risk to the city today from its diminished influence on the board. However, this could pose a risk to the city if board expectations or dynamics change. We recommend that the Arts Council conduct a strategic planning process to clarify the organization's mission, goals, and vision for arts and culture, and update bylaws to reflect governing agreements. And we recommend that the City Council review the intergovernmental agreement with the Arts Council, and in conjunction with other jurisdictions party to it, recommend changes that reflect the appropriate level of board representation and funding from each jurisdiction. We looked in detail at the city's contract with the Arts Council and found that the Arts Council provides many services to the city, but that vague language and hard-to-measure elements mean that the city may not get what it wants from the contract. For example, the desired outcome for coordinate and focus equitable cultural development through policymaking, initiation of new partnerships, and exercise of leadership is unclear and hard to measure. Another element, involve representative groups of citizens in its decision-making at all levels, evaluating services and reporting on outcomes, is arguable because it is not defined what the groups of citizens should be representative of. One could interpret that groups should be representative of the population of Portland, while another might interpret that groups should represent a variety of artistic disciplines. In the last example, comply with the requirements of city and Oregon public records laws and city communication and public outreach policies. The language is not specific as to when different public records laws should be followed. This is important because record retention schedules for city bureaus and nonprofit organizations differ for some kinds of records. The impact of arguable, vague, and hard-to-measure language in the contract is that the city may not be getting what it wants. There are elements of the contract where the Arts Council said it does not know what the outcome of the service or report is supposed to be. Additionally, contract administration and oversight is more difficult because desired outcomes are not clear. Also, without defining desired service levels, minimal amounts of work could be considered sufficient. An area where we saw the impact of vague contract language is arts education, where we found unclear oversight and reporting responsibilities and missing required metrics. In 2012, City Council approved an amendment to the contract with the Arts Council to include responsibilities related to arts education. Among other things, the contract calls for the Arts Council to collect data from programs receiving arts tax funds and develop metrics to evaluate whether the objectives of the fund are being met. Also in 2012, the Arts Education and Access Fund Oversight Committee was established in City Code. As shown in the slide, that citizen committee, which is independent of the Arts Council, is collecting data from the Revenue Division, school districts, and the Arts Council and reporting it to City Council. The data is used to determine if school districts are in compliance with required teacher-student ratios. This year, the Arts Council is beginning to collect data from school districts to help measure access to arts education and equity of instruction time across programs. However, the Arts Council is unsure if this is the data it should collect to comply with the contract. In a 2015 audit of the arts tax, we found that there was confusion about the oversight and data collection roles of the Arts Council and the Oversight Committee. We recommended changes to clarify the contract, but those changes have not been made. Additionally, the Arts Council has not developed metrics to determine if the goals of the fund are being met. The Arts Council said that the work is complicated due to unclear contract language. For example, the contract calls for the Arts Council to develop measurements to evaluate whether the objectives of the Arts Education and Access Fund are being met. But an Arts Council manager said they are not sure what the objectives of the fund are and do not know if they are documented anywhere. Unclear arts education oversight responsibilities and lack of metrics pose risks. Arts education outcomes may not be measured as the city intended, and duplicative data collection efforts between the Arts Council and the Arts Oversight Committee may exist. Another area where we saw the city's contract with the Arts Council needs improvement is in arts valuation. We found that there is a possible insurance risk because the city does not know the value of its arts assets. The city's percent for art program is administered by the Arts Council. 2% of eligible funds on certain city construction and improvement projects are dedicated to public art. The city owns the art purchase with its percent for art funds, but is maintained by the Arts Council. Neither the city nor the Arts Council know the current value of older arts assets because valuations have not been performed. The city insures its art assets as the contract requires. However, valuations shared with the insurance company are the asset's purchase price, which may be much less than the estimated current value for some significant pieces. For example, it cost $348,000 to acquire Portlandia in 1985. The Arts Council estimates that the current value of Portlandia is between $4 and $5 million. The city's insurance...
Good investment. We'll be accepting offers in the $5 to $7 million range starting next week on eBay.
The city's arts insurance rider includes ambiguous language about the insurance company's right to reject claims for art with an appraisal. City Risk is looking into other insurance options and is working to remove or clarify ambiguous language in the current policy. Risk managers believe that appraisals should be obtained on higher value art to avoid unfavorable outcomes of a loss. But the contract does not address if the city or the Arts Council is the party responsible for arts valuation.
By the way, if you just want to acknowledge, going back to page 14, that I think this part of the audit and your findings really highlights the complexity of knitting together all the different players within the city that touch the arts. And so here you're bringing risk management in. I mean, this is a familiar conversation we have at council about risk management, the city attorney's office, individual bureaus. It comes up when lawsuits, mayor, are being resolved or negotiated and settled. How is that communicated? We have these conversations all the time. And I think one of the really beneficial, one of the many beneficial things of this review is calling our attention to the fact that there are a lot of players that touch the arts in different ways. And because we don't have a Bureau of the Arts, they are even more fragmented than we would normally have in our current commission-style form of government. So I think that's very helpful that you called it out. And obviously the appraisal issue for our arts collection can easily be cured. But just calling that out structurally, I think, is very important.
Not knowing the current value of arts assets poses insurance risks for the city. For example, in the case of a loss, the city may not be able to recoup the replacement value for the asset as the public would expect. Also, insuring art at the purchase price and collecting a higher value post-loss may impact future premiums. One of the more specific aspects of the contract with the Arts Council is the inclusion of an aspirational goal that the Arts Council grant general operating support organizations 5% of their operating income. We found that the Arts Council is developing a proposal to restructure this grant program, moving it farther from the contract's aspirational goal. As mentioned earlier, grants is the largest of the Arts Council's programs.
Could you just go back to the operating thing? Could you just explain that again?
The general operating support program?
Yeah.
So it is the largest of the Arts Council's programs, and
I think the aspirational goal she's referring to is that the city provide 5% of the operating income of the organization. So sort of inherent in that goal is larger organizations are going to have higher funding levels from the city.
So it's all of them. We're trying to give 5% of it. Because in the audit, it looked like there were five big ones. And obviously, yeah. That if that's 5% of all of them, those are the big ones get the most.
Not all of them.
But even the little ones are supposed to get 5% as well.
The goal is...
For general operating support organizations.
Okay. And did you look at whether the big ones are getting proportionally more? I mean, are they getting 4% and the little ones are getting 2%? Or?
You know, we didn't look at that. We're going to talk a little bit about the average for all organizations.
I'll be quiet. Thank you.
I could just offer an observation here. This particular issue was of great importance to former Mayor Sam Adams, and it was based on the notion that in some other peer cities, local government was doing a better job investing in operating support for arts organizations, and we were lagging. And so this is something he talked a lot about during his administration. What has changed, and it's not the purpose of this particular review to go deep on this issue, but what has changed is the equity overlay conversation. How do you take a pot and divide it up equitably when historically large organizations have received the bulk of the funding and smaller organizations, community-based, have not? How does equity inform that conversation? And that's what RAC is going through right now. It is a controversial subject. What I like about this particular finding is it reminds us that we have to work more closely with RAC to set the goal here of what's going to happen, and it may include revising some contract language as we support their work of bringing equity to contract, to grant making, and to operating support.
As mentioned earlier, grants is the largest of the Arts Council's programs. The Arts Council offers grants in 6 categories, and the General Operating Support Grant Program is the largest, comprising 64% of grant dollars in 2018. This year, the Arts Council granted a total of $2.4 million to 52 General Operating Support organizations. Awards range from $8,000 to $427,000. 5 organizations received 56% of the available grant monies. The organizations receiving the largest grants and the amounts awarded in 2018 are the Portland Art Museum and Northwest Film Center, which received $427,000, the Oregon Symphony, which received $352,000, Portland Center Stage, which received $225,000, Portland Opera, which received $214,000, and the Oregon Ballet Theater, which received $131,000. The Arts and Education Tax, approved by voters in 2012, is intended to go in part towards funding general operating support grants. Arts tax revenues have been less than anticipated, so the Arts Council has less money to distribute in general operating support grants. The goal of providing 5% of each organization's operating income may not be sustainable, since income may grow over time, while the grant program's budget may not have corresponding increases. The current average that most organizations receive from the grant program is less than 4% of their operating income. Additionally, the Arts Council believes that the contract's aspirational funding goal competes with contract provisions focused on diversity and equitable access to the arts, including the one in the slide above. The Arts Council is developing a proposal to restructure the General Operating Support Grant Program so it can bring more organizations into the program and give special consideration to organizations serving and led by underserved and underrepresented populations. Barring an influx of funding for this program, the redesign will likely mean that the amounts granted to large general operating support organizations will fall further below the contract's 5% aspirational goal. Because the contract provision to support equal opportunity and access to the arts is vague, and because the city does not have clear goals for arts and culture, we were unable to conclude if this significant change to the grant program is in or out of alignment with city goals for arts funding. We recommend that the Arts Commissioner, Mayor, and the Arts and Culture Council's Executive Director update the contract consistent with the city goals for arts and culture to clearly define desired services, measures, and reporting, clarify the arts education objectives and outcome measures required of school districts and programs and the oversight role of the Arts Council, identify the organization responsible for arts valuation, and determine which assets' values should be updated and the responsible parties carry out the necessary work, and identify priorities and goals for grant funding. Our last audit objective focused on the city's oversight of the Arts Council. We found that city administration of the contract and the way it tracks funding of the Arts Council need improvement. We found that there is no one from the city providing technical contract administration and oversight or consistently monitoring the performance of the Arts Council against the contract to ensure the desired services and required reports are delivered and reviewed. The city's contract with the Arts Council assigns general oversight responsibilities to the Arts Commissioner. The contract also references a project manager, but there is no project manager assigned. A lack of oversight by the city does not mean that work was not completed, but it poses risks. For example, the city does not have assurances that services were provided. The city cannot intervene if there are service delivery problems. And the city does not have information needed to determine if contract changes are needed. While examining the city's general oversight of the Arts Council, we found that the city lacks complete information on how the Arts Council spends money. The Arts Council receives a financial audit each year. We spoke to the independent auditors and the treasurer of the Arts Council's board of directors, who all said that the Arts Council has strong financial internal controls. Additionally, all city payments we reviewed back to 2009 were reflected in the Arts Council's financial records.
Can I just pose a question here? Because this is I think, very important. And because of the unique arrangement of an independent Arts Council and the relationship with the city, it begs some questions about how we do oversight. So, for example, they have an outside independent audit every year that evaluates, you know, their balance sheet and things, sort of akin to, I guess, what Portland Development Commission does, or Prosper Portland. Do you have a recommendation as to what our role is with respect to that audit? Should that audit be presented both to the council and to the city? Should the Office of Management Finance be reviewing it? Should our outside independent auditor, who does our CAFR and other things, review it in the ordinary course? Just food for thought. I don't know that we have an answer now, but I mean, the fact that they have this practice is good. The fact that they get a clean accounting is good. The fact that you've been able to track all the funds is good. I'm just curious if there's an additional level of protection in having the city review that and somehow report to the council. So that's just a question.
Commissioner, I would suggest that if you implement the recommendation, have stronger contract administration coming out of the city, that the fact that this audit is being performed should be digested by the contract administrator. And if RAC is getting a clean bill of health on its financial statements, that would provide a level of assurance to the contract administrator. If you start seeing that there are problems in this financial statement audit, then I think that probably should at some point be elevated to the council.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
The city does not have complete information about how the Arts Council allocates money in their budget, because during the city budget process, the Arts Council submits requests for new funding or to show the impact of proposed budget reductions, not an annual budget as the contract requires. Additionally, the Arts Council's annual report to City Council contains only high-level information about its budget and funding from the city. Lack of financial oversight poses risks, since spending by the Arts Council could be out of line with city goals. Lastly, we found that the city is not tracking completely how it funds the Arts Council. This is because percent for art funding on projects managed by third parties are not recorded in the city's accounting system as money going to the Arts Council. Other city percent for art funding not included in the city's accounting system are Prosper Portland and Home Forward projects. As such, $2.5 million of City Percent for Art funds paid between 2009 and 2017 cannot be located in the city's accounting system when searching for Arts Council funding.
Could you remind us, what's the legal basis for us tracking the Home Forward's Percent for Arts program? We don't track anything else. I mean, they are an independent agency to which we appoint board members, but what makes this particular program unique that requires us to track their expenditure?
Well, there was a council resolution saying that city funds going to Home Forward could be eligible for 4% for art funding. So we're just pointing out that the city doesn't have a clear picture of how much money they are spending on the Percent for Art program.
How much Home Forward is spending?
Yes.
How much of the city funds that go to Home Forward are going to art?
Yes.
Okay. But we have not set any parameters one way or another on what they can and can't do. Is that correct?
You know, I'd have to look at the council resolution.
It's just interesting. I've never come up before, and it's something I'd like to delve a little deeper in.
Okay. A lack of financial oversight poses risks for the city because it does not have a complete picture of how much they spend on the Arts Council. We recommend that the Arts Commissioner and Mayor appoint a contract administrator to monitor compliance with the contract, provide technical assistance to the Arts Council, review the annual budget submitted by the Arts Council, develop a consistent mechanism to track all city funding to the Arts Council, and develop procedures for Arts Council reporting so that there is consistency over time. Thank you.
We could put a check mark next to that one, and I think this slide will go right into the job description, so thank you for that. So, Mayor, we have a couple of things. We have Jeff Hawthorne here, who is the interim executive director and who is the author of one of the responses to the audit. I think, as a matter of courtesy, we should consider inviting him up if he wants to offer any comments, but I think now we should do questions with the auditor's team.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. That was an excellent presentation. Thank you very much. Thank you for your work on this. So I just have a few follow-up questions. You mentioned the financial records being absolutely in line with everything. That's always a good thing. What else is RAC doing well?
RAC provides a number of services to the city, but this audit was, we did not do a deep dive into the individual programs that RAC offers because we wanted to report on these high-level objectives since we thought that they best informed the contract negotiations.
I would be very interested in a deeper dive, so I don't know if that's within your plans.
We actually thought that we would do up to this point and have this conversation with you all, and there are some options that we identified through this first phase that we could continue, and we didn't know if we were giving you so much at this stage that to give you time to implement some of the recommendations we've made, that there might be some value in lagging a little bit.
Sounds reasonable. I certainly appreciate it's very timely with the contract about to be up. What do we need to clarify? Because some of the things you identified are things that should be in the contract and are not, and some of the things that are in the contract are not being done. So I think that's really helpful moving forward. So when we get to a discussion, I'll mention some of the things that I'm interested in knowing more about. So you, for instance, you mentioned maintenance of public art. That's their responsibility, but you didn't actually look at, is it being maintained?
No, we don't.
Thank you.
I could use some clarity on the regional funding question. This is something that keeps coming up, and it seems like there's some resentment that other jurisdictions don't invest as much. But it's my understanding that services delivered are pretty much commensurate with what each jurisdiction invests. And I would argue that because Portland's the largest city in the region and because the majority of artists and arts organizations and venues and resources are in Portland, that it makes sense that we do contribute quite a bit more. So why is that problematic if other jurisdictions aren't getting more than they're paying for? Why is that a problem? And also, people come from all over the region to Portland to experience our arts and culture.
I'll take the first crack at it, and I'll turn it over to Jennifer. I think that what you're talking about is what Commissioner Fish raised, which it does say the Regional Arts and Culture Council as part of its organization. And when we were going through to determine how much money the regional partners were putting in and what they were getting out of it, it does look stark when the City of Portland is putting in more money. And then when you match that with the fact that the representation on the board is falling, and I think that it's we're raising those questions and bringing them to you because I think there's a public expectation. I learned a lot from this audit. I didn't know that much about RAC. I didn't realize it was as large as it is. I didn't realize how much money the city was putting in. And so I think that there is a possibility that greater clarity on what it is that the city is trying to do with this organization and what the organization is trying to do, because it is a nonprofit. It could have a regional footprint. It could be getting money from other places. And I think that the city, when it enters into an intergovernmental agreement with that organization, can define what it wants for the City of Portland to be doing. And I think that that's where we are now with the contract negotiation and asking these questions. And it could be that because you think it's working just fine, you think it's a fair way to go, that being clear with the public about that would be beneficial too. We're not saying it's necessarily bad or good. We're just saying it is, and setting up this conversation.
Thanks.
If I might just comment on that, I think from my perspective, it's what you just said. There's a lot of people come from outside of Portland to go to, you know, the ballet, the symphony, etc. And so when they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is largely funded by Portland, it is a regional benefit. So yes, the art projects that are place-based are one thing. The services that are really drawing from the region, and yes, we get maybe some restaurant business and other economic benefit. And they also have the benefit of these services being provided, being part of why people want to come to Intel and Nike and various other employers that are not important. That's my perspective.
Madam Auditor, I have a question. I'm going to focus in on the recommendation that we do a new and updated strategic plan. Two questions. One is the last plan you reference in your review is the 2009 regional plan. And one of the sort of implicit criticisms of that is that it's not doesn't clearly set forth Portland's goals. So does that highlight the tension of having a regional arts and culture council and trying to blend Portland's voice in with other regional partners? Is that inherent in the deal we struck that we don't have the exclusive right to shape the goals, that it is a collective process? So that's just a philosophical question. And the second question has to do with the value of strategic planning. And I don't, maybe you can remind me because I can't remember. My sense is that at the city, we often do strategic plans every 10 years. And I only say that because a number of plans that have come to council recently have said, here's our 10-year plan. So I assume they get updated after 10 years. Is there, in your view, a best practice of in terms of the frequency of doing strategic planning and updates so that we make sure that we're fresh and current with thinking?
I think that there is. It depends on who's bringing forward the strategic plan. 10 years is a long time, so I would consider that a long-term plan more so than a strategic plan. And as you all know, as you go through the budget process, most people are thinking in the near term. And the great thing about having those 10-year plans is you at least have the general direction you're trying to go, but they should be updated on a more current basis, 1 or 2 or 3 years, so that you're touching base back, you're looking at how you're performing, you're seeing where you are on the way to your 10-year plan and making adjustments. And so as for arts organizations, I don't know if there's a particular best practice for arts organizations about how far out they should be planning.
Do you think that, now this review is landing at the very time that the council is undertaking a big look at how to improve our budget process generally, how to engage the public more dynamically, what kind of information should be put out there, how to help us make good decisions with scarce resources. Do you think an annual update specific to strategic plan benchmarks and where we are by bureau should be part of a presentation?